All right, we're back. Who's talking? Our third segment tonight. We're going to switch over to a little lacrosse, a little men's lacrosse. UVA has got a new coach, Lars Tiffany, and a new up-tempo offense. And the days of trying to win 9-7 are over. I think the Cavaliers are trying to score 20 every game now. And it's, I tell you what, you got to be paying attention if you're up in the media box, because there's so much activity, and there's the ball is being thrown all over the field. And I know that Tim O'Shea loves lacrosse. Tim, how are you?
Hey, Frank. I'm great. How are you tonight?
We're doing great. Glad you could join us. Tim, back to your days playing for Coach Adams, Ace Adams. What would Coach Adams think of this?
Not much, really. You know, actually, if you think back, Frank, we've had some, you know, really highly regarded coaches at UVA.
Yes.
Corrigan and Glenn Thiel, and then, as you said, my coach, Ace Adams, and then leading to Dom Stargia's, 25-plus year run. You know, Dom was a legend in the sport, highly regarded by his peers. I think one day we'll go down as a very highly regarded, legendary coach at UVA.
Sure.
When the dust settles.
Yeah.
You know, the way we're playing now, it's not just high-octane offense. It's really high-octane everything.
Yes.
Face-offs, ground balls, defensive end of the field is very aggressive. It's just an aggressive style of play, and it's really fun to watch. Really fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, you've been involved with youth lacrosse, with the Geronimo lacrosse program, and all those kids that have gone through that. How old is the Geronimo program now?
It started in 95, so
wow.
I think this is the 22nd season this year.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. But it's been fun. We had kids play Geronimo who became captains of their college teams, including Mikey Thompson at UVA. So it's been a pleasure to see the game grow in Central Virginia.
Well, Michael Howard is playing defense for the Cavs, number 16. He played at collegiate schools. Did he also come through Geronimo?
He did. You know, Michael was really a soccer player primarily when he was a younger kid. In fact, I think if my memory is right, he was an all-state soccer player as a freshman in high school and just really caught the lacrosse bug a little bit late. Some say that's reflected in his stick skills, which are not A++ for that level. But his athleticism, his size, he really matches up well with what we're seeing more and more in lacrosse, which is, you know, 6'5", 220-pound stud midfielders like Miles Jones at Duke and some others we've seen.
You know, when you're watching the game on Saturday against Drexel, which was an 18-14 victory for the Cavs, during the game, and I know you're like me, you're like, why can't these guys catch the ball? And then why can't they run it down? And then all of a sudden it seems to click for a moment or two, and there's, you know, like catching lightning in a bottle. And is that what Tiffany's after, or is it just sort of creating such a fast pace that you just sort of confuse the defense and the offense of the other team, and before you know it, they're in a pace that they can't maintain?
Well, you know, everybody talks about our offense. It's really not just offense. It's really how we play the full field. If you watch when our attack rides really hard, we pressure the ball. And I think you saw Drexel throw a few balls away in their clearing game through the midfield. It's aggressive. And defensively, we play very aggressively. So it's a high-risk, high-reward strategy. And we're... You know, some people have compared our style to, like a Paul Westhead basketball system, you know, run and gun three. And it's not that at all. We play fast and we play aggressively, but we're not taking a lot of three-pointers. I mean, we get shots that are layups. You know, you don't see us shoot more than 7 or 8 yards away from the goal. So, you know, it just relies on a lot of depth and a lot of talent, which I think we're fine-tuning at this point as a team.
You know, talk about maybe the changes that have occurred. Like, to me, Zed Williams looks like a completely different player this year. He still makes the cockeyed pass or does something kind of bizarre, But then other times he makes these brilliant plays, and he's taking a more disciplined approach with his own shot, which last year he was shooting like from almost the bench.
Yeah, Zed was positioned up top and, you know, really had a lot of pressure on himself to create offense. And what you see with him playing attack is he's kind of settled in. He's not playing on the wings on faceoffs, you know, responsible for a lot of ground ball action, which will wear a guy out. And what he's doing really well, I think, is when that double team is coming, his head's up and he's finding the open guy. And so, you know, who would have thought after two games that Zed's got, what, 3 goals but 8 assists?
Yeah.
And we really thought, you know, it would be the reverse, that he'd have a ton of goals. So I think he's doing a great job because obviously the teams are focusing on him offensively, and he's finding the open guy, which is, you know, it's a shared offense. There's really not a stud. Well, you know, they're all studs, but in one way. But it's a team offense. We're not getting out of the way for one guy and letting him go all the way like we might have done in the days of the Brattons.
Well, I don't know. Mike DeMario might have something to say about that.
Mike had a great game the other day, and he's got a role, and that role is to finish. And
yep.
You know, he's probably not going to lead the team in assists, and he's not going to create a lot of shots off of his own dodges, but he will finish. He's got a wicked lefty shot.
You know, a couple of years ago, and the player's name escapes me, the Cavs had an attackman much like the fellow you just described, and he never did hardly anything else. He wasn't big on getting ground balls. He didn't set the best picks, and he rarely ever passed anybody else, but he scored a ton of goals.
I think you might be talking about Cockerton.
Maybe I've got to go back farther. Maybe another 2 or 3 years. Gee whiz, he might have worn number 10.
Bocklet.
Yes, Chris Bocklet.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Mike Bocklet. He was definitely, yes, I'd say that's a similar mold. He played with Steel Stanway.
Yes.
And, which is a great guy to play with if you are sort of a shooting post-up guy. But Bocklet's done well. He still plays professionally, and but you're right. He scored a ton of goals.
Well, you nailed it. Now, Lukovic, a senior and one of the captains, they've moved him around on the field. Do you think his leadership to this point has been as good as I think it has been?
It appears that it is. You know, it just from observation standpoint, the team appears to have a really positive attitude. We seem to be getting very good leadership from Ryan and the other captains. And you know, when a guy in his fourth year moves away from the attack position to a midfield position and gives up basically half his playing time, that says a lot to his teammates, that he's willing to do anything to win. And I think that helps the rest of the team say, you know, I got to do my part too.
Speaking of captains and returning leaders, on defense, Tanner Scales seems to be an important player. Talk about his role this year and just the defense as a whole.
Yeah, well, you might have to get Chuck White or another alumnus to really talk X's and O's on the defensive side. But Tanner Scales, as a fresh first year, second year, you know, was an excellent player. You know, I think he had national recognition, had a horrible injury last year.
Yep.
Really, or year before.
Yes.
Came back last year and frankly didn't appear to be 100%. And this year he looks like he's fully back to form. He's taken his leadership role extremely seriously. You can tell, you know, we've got young goalies in there or inexperienced goalies. And, you know, a couple of younger guys with him on defense. And I think he is playing at a pace that suggests there's no tomorrow for him.
That's interesting. I was just noticing the size of some of the defensemen. You know, in the past, the typical Virginia defenseman was about 6'3 and about 215. I noticed Virginia has a slew of 6-foot, 200-pound defensemen, which used to be the size that all Virginia's middies checked in at. Is that part of maybe picking up the tempo because the guys are going to be lower center of gravity, a little quicker to the ball, maybe getting a few more groundies?
I think that's a good point. Of course, Lars inherited this team and didn't have a whole lot to say as to who was going to be on it. But that's one of the great things about lacrosse. There's room for almost any size type of player. And frankly, now I think you're finding a lot of coaches at the youth league and above through high school are putting their better athletes on defense. And especially at the long stick midfield position where we've got an amazing, another good player that's going to follow in Michael Howard's footsteps in Jared Connors. I was really impressed with what I saw from him the other day. You know, without Michael there, he was taking a double load, and he just looks like he's just extremely poised.
Will McNamara seems to be playing pretty well. I notice he's in the game a lot at crunch time and key possession. Same is true of A.J. Fish. And Zach Abrosino, who's a player I wasn't familiar with at all, seemed to be on the field a lot. And let's talk about goalie. From what I can tell, unfortunately, there seems to be some difficulty there in this transition and that, you know, Will Raley is just having a tough time.
Yeah, I think he had a real tough time against Drexel. I think Loyola was about at expectations level.
Yep.
It frankly looked like Will just wasn't seeing the ball too well a couple times in the first half. We knew that we had inexperienced goalies. Our goalie from last year, who we expected to return, is not on the team this year. And so I think Coach Tiffany is looking at goalie by committee and trying to sort of see who emerges and, you know, is willing to play the guy who, you know, looks like he's hot because goalies can get hot and cold.
Yes.
And I think we're going to be seeing a bit of a rotation there this year. That's just my guess.
So Griffin Thompson will see the field quite a bit.
Yeah, and the word was that he started a little slow as a first year in fall ball, but you know, picked up through the fall and into the early spring, and I think he's going to get a good chance. And I don't really follow recruiting too closely, but I know we have a very highly regarded goalie coming in next year.
And also a big-time scorer from Stab. Can't remember his name right now, but he's got a long name, like Schellenberger or something.
Yeah, Schellenberger. He's actually an underclassman. He will not be in next year. I think he might be a 9th or 10th grader this year.
Well, see, that's the way I like him. Let's get him early, get him in the program. Let me ask you this.
I'm sure he appreciated his name on the radio, Frank.
Oh, you never know. All right, I got some, I'm curious about something. We're down to a final minute here in this segment. What is your favorite memory as a Cavalier lacrosse player?
Wow. My favorite memory was probably a collection of memories. My third year, we did play in the NCAA championship game. We lost to Johns Hopkins in overtime. It was heartbreaking. I think about it every day. But we did beat Hopkins that year on my 21st birthday, which was pretty sweet.
Was that the game in Scott Stadium?
Yes.
John Driscoll was brilliant, the late, great midfielder.
The late, great John Driscoll. Shout out to John Driscoll. He was midfielder of the year in the country and first-team All-American that year. We were really loaded, the class ahead of me.
Yep.
John Driscoll, Tony Savarese, Kevin O'Shea. No relation, was the top middy in the country that year.
Yeah.
Excuse me, top defender in the country that year.
Right.
And it was a fun group, too. It was a fun group.
Well, I remember it well. I saw all those games, and I loved the Cavaliers played Cornell at least once or twice in Scott Stadium, and it was large crowd, and then obviously the huge crowd for that Hopkins game. And when Driscoll stalled the end of that game out, that put an end to a 44-game win streak by the Blue Jays.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, it was an incredible win streak for them. We're going to bid you farewell tonight, and thank you for joining us on Who's Talking, and maybe we can get you back, and maybe you and your sidekick, Chuck, can join us.
Oh, sounds great. Thank you, Frank.
All right, Tim O'Shea, that was some fun on the lacrosse front. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk ACC basketball and UVA's key pointers to watch for in the game tonight. Stay with us. Final segment, Who's Talking, next.